damn gate of knowledge.
Another thing that Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions, which is a sign of God's power, he says, وَأَحْدَاثٍ تَتَابَعُ. He says that those various incidents that happen in a person's lives, various occurrences, incidents, whether they be natural, personal, or incidents that happen due to another person's actions, all of these are things that a person cannot stop. Like today, can you stop if something is supposed to happen to you in life? Can you really stop it? Like, frankly, we cannot. We cannot even control the weather around us. We can't control even the way the earth rotates. I mean, many things are not really beyond our control, you know? The change in weather, day and night. And these are just the major occurrences. But the smaller occurrences also, whatever. We can control how we react. That's another thing. But it happening to us, it's beyond our control. If a person had that divine outlook, he can take lessons from these occurrences in his life. And that one of those lessons is to understand that there is a power beyond myself that is controlling these affairs. You see? To understand of God, to have that understanding of God's power. And therefore, a person, you know, this really would give him peace or her peace if he or she realized that this is all God's power, you know. And if I just connect myself to that God, then I connect myself to the source of all of these powers. And therefore I can ask help from that God to kind of bear these difficulties, if they are difficult, and to find solutions towards these problems, or to protect me or whoever from these occurrences to happen in my life that can be detrimental to me or to anyone. You see, this is an aspect that Imam Ali alayhi salam would want us to think about. And the prophets of God, they came to make people realize these things, to make them realize that there is a God, there is a divine control, there is a force beyond, and make them now adhere to the commandments and to the teachings of that entity that has control over their affairs. And slowly, slowly, if a person were to think in this way, then he would not allow the enemies of God, the enemies of humanity, to take reins and destroy the good life that human beings can achieve through the worship of God. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
مرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمنى هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. Or all produced by IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, self-grooming. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the topic of self-grooming in the Islamic lifestyle. We know that Islam gives importance to the purification, and one of the reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and He has given us the material aspect of the life and the spiritual aspect is that we need to purify ourselves in order to reach the perfection. And this purification is in everywhere, even in the food, in eating, in talking, in clothing. So purification is very important. And that's why we see the very first thing that we can say it is the one of the most important things to have the self-grooming or self-adornment is to have wudu and ghusl. This wudu that we do every day before the daily prayer, it is said, it is recommended to be in the state of wudu. Being in the state of wudu means that when I'm the whole day in the state of wudu, I'm not performing impurified things. And I am going towards the purification. I want to keep myself neat and clean. On the other hand, there is ghusl as well. For example, the ghusl or the bath for the day of Jum'ah or the other days. For example, Eid day, there are special, we can say, instructions about this, this bath. So being neat and clean and being in the state of wudu is very important. And also we know that even it is said that if a person sleeps in the night and before sleeping he performs the wudu, he has spent his whole night in praying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of self-grooming in the Islamic lifestyle. We said that the very first thing in Islamic lifestyle we see in order to have self-adornment or self-grooming is to be in the state of wudu and to perform ghusl. And there are many things like which is said about the ghusl. There are different types of it, so we need to know about that. The second thing that we can talk about is to have the neat and clean clothing. We need to have neat and clean clothes, and recommended is that we need to have the white or the green color, for example, or the use the light color clothings, and they should be neat. It is not necessary to have new clothes every time, obviously. We need to put on neat and clean clothes, and you can see the difference that the people who have neat and clean clothing compared to those who do not have this, there is a big difference. And even if a person who says, for example, I only have one piece of cloth or two pieces of clothes to wear on, then it is important for him to take care of the clothes and to keep them neat and clean and to change them on time so that they don't get so dirty. So it is important in the Islamic lifestyle that when we talk about the self-adornment, we should look good, look neat and clean, inshallah. The third thing is to use a good perfume. And the last is to use the mirror. Now, we know that we use the mirror and we adorn ourselves. So this is also recommended by Islam to keep looking at the mirror, adorn yourself, make right your hairs, and look at yourself, how you look. And on top of that, use the good perfume so that people do not run away because of the bad smell sometimes we have. Rather, they don't feel bad about you when they're sitting next to you, when they're talking to you. And that's why brushing teeth are also recommended so much in Islam. Why? Because when we talk, our mouth should not smell bad. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
In the limelight.
With just a few days to go before the United States was projected to hit the debt ceiling and run out of funds to pay the nation's bills, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and President Joe Biden have struck a deal to suspend the debt limit. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The national broadcaster CBS News has covered this story and tells us more. With just a few days to go before the U.S. was projected to hit the debt ceiling and run out of funds to pay the nation's bills, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and President Joe Biden have struck a deal to suspend the debt limit. And Congress is expected to vote as soon as this week. Under the deal, the debt limit will be suspended until the first quarter of 2025. Beyond the 2024 presidential election. Rather than raising the debt ceiling by a specific dollar amount, suspending it allows Congress to define a period of time before the debt limit would need to be addressed again. Taking this approach ensures that it can be used for political advantage during the presidential campaigns. It leaves the next fight over a debt ceiling for a new administration and Congress soon after the 2024 presidential elections. Republicans originally sought a 10-year cap on spending at fiscal year 2022 levels and called for dramatic cuts to domestic spending unrelated to defense. The Biden White House proposed keeping spending at fiscal year 2023 levels for 2 years. The deal does not return spending to 2022 levels and instead keeps non-defense spending about flat, with current 2023 levels for 2024. There are no budget caps after 2025, just spending targets. For 2025, the agreement allows a small increase in non-defense spending of about 1%. The White House and Kevin McCarthy's negotiating team agreed on overhauling the country's permitting laws, an issue long advocated by moderate Democrats. The provision aims to streamline the environmental review process, designating a single lead agency to be tasked with environmental review that corresponds with a clear public timeline. Energy permitting changes are expected to speed up the time it takes to approve new projects, which environmentalists have opposed. Republicans are touting the deal's change as the first significant reform to the National Environmental Policy Act since 1982. The deal also says that unspent COVID relief funds will be clawed back, a proposal made by Republicans and accepted by the Biden White House. The COVID public health emergency officially ended in early May. The exact amount available is unclear, but the Congressional Budget Office has estimated it's about $30 billion. Republicans have also sought to toughen and add work requirements for able-bodied adults without minor dependents applying for entitlements and benefits, including Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, TANF, and the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, and also Medicaid. The White House has pushed back. The deal does not add work requirements for Medicaid. Currently, people eligible for SNAP do not have work requirements after the age of 50. The deal would raise that age to 54. At the same time, SNAP would see temporary changes that eliminate work requirements for veterans and those experiencing homelessness, regardless of age. Republicans also wanted about $71 billion in IRS funding over the next decade to be cut, passing legislation to do so upon taking the majority in the House of Representatives and including the same cut in the debt ceiling bill the House GOP passed last month. They were targeting tens of thousands of new agents funded by the Inflation Reduction Act and even campaigned during the midterm elections on cutting the additional IRS funding, which was aimed at modernizing the IRS and improving enforcement against high-income tax cheats. Republicans told midterm voters that President Biden and Democrats planned to send an army of 87,000 IRS agents to audit everyday Americans to dig deeper into their pockets to pay for unfunded liberal programs like student loan forgiveness. According to Representative French Hill, Republican of Arkansas, who appeared on Space the Nation program the day after the deal was announced, the agreement would stop the first year of the 10-year increase in the IRS budget. He continued by saying that would be nearly $2 billion of spending stopped of that $80 billion that was to be spent over 10 years for hiring IRS agents. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story and tells us more. US President Joe Biden has set a bipartisan deal to raise the $31.4 trillion US debt ceiling and avoid default is ready to move to Congress and urged lawmakers to pass the agreement he struck with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. "This is a deal that's good news for the American people," Biden said at the White House on Sunday night after a phone call with Kevin McCarthy to put the final touches to a tentative deal struck the previous day. "It takes the threat of catastrophic default off the table, protects our hard-earned and historic economic recovery," Biden said. "I strongly urge both chambers of Congress to pass this agreement." He added, he believed the House Speaker negotiated in good faith and expected him to have the necessary votes for the 99-page bill to pass. Asian shares and U.S. stock futures rose on Monday, buoyed by news of an agreement. Lawmakers in Washington were set to see the details of the deal with the aim of putting a bill to a vote as early as next Wednesday and avoiding a catastrophic and unprecedented debt default in early June. Both the House and Senate are expected to return on Tuesday after Memorial Day holiday. Kevin McCarthy said the House will vote on Wednesday, then send the bill to the U.S. Senate. Once the bill reaches the Senate, where Democrats have the majority, the pace of action will largely depend on whether any senators try to hold up the bill, possibly with amendment votes. That could tie up the legislation for a few days. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York warned on Sunday that due to the time it may take to process the legislation in the Senate without cooperation, senators should prepare for potential Friday and weekend votes. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell applauded the agreement and called on the Senate to act swiftly to pass it without unnecessary delay once it has gone through the House. Mitch McConnell said today's agreement makes urgent progress towards preserving our nation's full faith and credit and a much-needed step towards getting its financial house in order. Chip Roy, a prominent member of the Republican Hardline Freedom Caucus, tweeted that he would try to prevent the agreement from passing the House, but Kevin McCarthy dismissed threats of opposition within his own party, saying over 95% of House Republicans were overwhelmingly excited about the deal. This is good, strong bill that a majority of Republicans will vote for. Kevin McCarthy said, you're going to have Republicans and Democrats be able to move this to the president. Earlier, President Biden told reporters, after attending the high school graduation of one of his granddaughters in Delaware, that there were no sticking points left between him and Kevin McCarthy.
Start. Movement. Speed. Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamidi.
Islamidi.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, my dear friends. This is Youth Station. You are listening to IRB English Radio. I am Asma. Once more, I have the pleasure to be here in the house of all the youth.
And I'm Zainab with Asma, and it's a pleasure to be with
yes.
her and co-hosting with her. Our favorite station, that is?
Youth Station, of course.
By the first verse of the Holy Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Allah will bless you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Protect you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Help you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
So ask His blessings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His protection.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His help.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, I'm fine. How are you?
Well, life is moving as usual.
And I hope everything is fine with the audience too.
Inshallah. Inshallah, we'd hope so. There is this eternal fight between the heart and the mind. And it would never finish. And it would never cease to exist.
Have you had that?
Have you had that? Well, you'd better say, when haven't you have it, actually? Because it happens every day, every moment, every second. Yes. And all the people, you know, go preaching you like, okay, you have to live your life with your brain and you have to be so logical and, you know, do not pay attention to your emotions and feelings while I'm a cauldron of emotions. So
especially we have this. Our emotions work much.
But nowadays, you know, women are just making me wonder.
Why?
Because I guess there are too many women that have been having a good control over their emotions.
So is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I guess it's a talent and it's a power.
Wow. So to protect yourself from becoming too emotional, what is important?
Well, to protect myself from getting too emotional, I usually... You know, it's just like your emotions are just like these wild horses that are running in a field.
Exactly.
And then you have to rein them in.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult, but you have to work on it. As you start to grow older and older, you start to have a better understanding of yourself. So you know.
And also, you have an understanding with the experience about your triggers.
Yeah.
What is triggering you? And especially about the people with whom you have some intense emotions.
Yeah.
And I think with that experience, you can work on it.
Mm-hmm. And it's what triggers that, you know, about when you take your major in high school, about when you're going to pick your friends, about when you're going to even go for a journey, where you want to go, where's your destination, and what kind of people you want to be with. Everything, I guess, is related to your emotions and would be engaging your emotions as well. But the thing is, how to make a balance between being too emotional and too logical.
Yeah.
You know, because both extremes are not good.
Yeah. Sometimes it's good to be illogical, especially, you know, when you're loving someone.
Yeah, so it's good to be emotional.
It's good to be emotional.
Okay, I don't agree.
Yes, I know you disagree, but I do agree with this.
You know why? Because that is a life-changing decision that you're going to make. Yes, I agree that we must, you know, take care of love, because love is an important thing. Love is the thing with wings. Without it, life is a broken-winged bird.
Yeah.
So love is very important.
A picture. What an imagery.
But the important thing is that you also have to think about the logics that are telling you everything. Because sometimes I see one of my friends was actually getting married, and then she was so in love with the guy that was proposing her.
Okay.
In a way that she did not pay any attention to any other factors. Just as I saw her status, I just remembered what Imam Ali alayhi salam said, that when you are in love, you just turn into a blind person. You did not see and
blind.
You did not hear anything.
Yeah.
And that's very true, because, you know, as an outsider, what I see in that guy is that he is an irresponsible person. He is not as the fancy person that she is trying to imagine him.
Mm-hmm.
But what she sees is an entire different thing.
Okay.
What she sees is a castle of all her dreams.
Yeah.
So in these situations, I do believe that we have to be logical, at least a bit, you know, just to give a touch of logic.
But I think when you're in love, nothing works. When Imam Ali Sam says that your brain does not work, your ears, mm-hmm. your eyes, everything turns blind. Where did you get logic from? I don't think there's logic when you are in love.
Yeah.
And it's not just being in love with your partner. It's also being in love with your kids, being in love with every person
your job.
Around.
Being in love with your job and then forget about your family. Forget about your own self. Forget about your health.
That's being dedicated.
When does it
you
come? Dedication
balance,
comes from love, I suppose.
You can balance being dedicated and mm-hmm. being responsible as well.
Okay,
like
before we get into a fight, I guess it's better for us to go for a sip of water for
yes.
change of mood, and then we'll be back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Yes, what can I do to protect myself from my feelings that are so exaggerated and so heightened? Because some people are just like this. Yes, you're listening to Youth Station. Asma and Zainab are at your service, and we're talking about how to control our emotions and how to protect ourselves from excessive emotions.
What do you do when you have that?
I think I overthink.
You overthink?
Yeah, I overthink and overthink. And when I overthink, it's just like I have too many judges in my brain, and they start to reprimand me. To admonish me. And then when that happens, I prefer to be logical and, you know, as if I put my feeling in a prison and just look at it mm-hmm. and torture myself. But then it's better than being tortured in real life.
Right. I take a deep breath.
And then what's the outcome of that deep breath?
I feel so relaxed. You don't know, deep breath is in itself a magic. When you do it and how you do it, like whenever I'm done with my emotions,
yeah.
I am at the peak and I am not able to get out of it. I turn towards the Qibla, I take a deep breath and I say, thrice, Ya Ghiyath al-Mustaghithin.
Yes, Ya Ghiyath al-Mustaghithin. That is, you're asking help from Allah. You're calling Him by His names.
Ya Ghiyath al-Mustaghithin, or the one who's a listener of the supplications of those who are, you know, in a destitute situation.
Yeah, the cry, he would listen to the cry of all those who are in a depressed situation.
Yes, I call him with different names like, Yo, Asma Samain.
Yeah, the
and
one
Asma
who hears
knows
everything.
Yeah, Asma knows, because I have very deep faith in this verse which says that you call upon me and I'll answer.
And show me the way. You call him and ask him to show you the way. And that really works. But also another practical method that I have used is to, just as I said, to change your place and leave everything for a while.
Exactly. That's what I do mostly when I'm angry with something. Yeah. But yeah, anger is also an emotion.
The same thing, yeah. It's an excessive sort of emotion.
Yeah.
And if you can travel, it would do wonders, really.
It will do. And I think self-care is very, very important. And traveling is one of the parts of the self-care. You travel, give time to yourself. You give quality time to yourself, actually.
Yeah.
Because sometimes...
But don't get too indulged in quality time in a way that you would, again... get so synced into your emotions.
And at the same time, Asma, I think neglecting the negative thoughts is very, very important. Mm-hmm. You know, that I think that would do the trick if you neglect what is hurting you in emotions.
Yeah.
Because when you're overwhelmed or, I don't know, when you feel you are done with a particular thing.
You're at the end of the rope.
Yeah, you should be... I think neglect or noticing, first of all, notice your emotions and then neglect the negative ones. And again, that self-care, you can go for exercising.
You know,
I felt so good when I went for aerobics and when I went for swimming.
Going to gym is amazing, yeah.
So let's take a short break and we'll be back in a while. I am so, so emotional, and sometimes I have so bad emotional trauma. And I think this going for aerobics and going for swimming helped me a lot, Asma, when I was in any emotional trauma.
Yeah.
Sport
actually helps so much.
Yeah.
Because it, again, is going to help your brain to work more properly and it would help your heart to actually work even better than before.
And you know, as again, Surarad says that his zikr, his remembrance, is the best thing that can provide peace to your heart.
Yeah, it's the best remedy.
Exactly. Mm. So yeah, I think remembering him.
You know, also there is another important thing that we should take into notice, and it is the fact that, okay, it's true that we say that excessive emotion is not good, but also to avoid your emotions, to neglect them every now and then is not a good thing, psychologically speaking.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah, because avoiding them for too long, ignoring them, the right word is ignoring. Ignoring your emotions for too long is going to cause too much of traumas to start to exist in your mind. So I guess there must be a balance. And as I said, we know ourselves better. So according to who you are and what are the best things for you, what are the best ways for you to deal with your emotions, go for it, but just do not ignore it. Because
exactly.
Ignoring is not good. It would turn into complex into your brain. And then one day, after all, it's going to come into surface.
It is indeed. So I think we should be working with. So Asma, I think I would like to know from you, where do you think it's important to be emotional, not to neglect your emotions? Because right now you just
I guess you're asking the wrong person because I'm emotional in every step of my life. But I guess in our relationship with
where does it help you, basically? I agree with you that sometimes it's very important not to neglect your emotions, especially you can be loving enough if you're not emotional. Love does need emotions,
yes.
And I think there you don't need to neglect
so
it
So you
all
don't
the time.
Have to ignore any of them, whether your emotion or your brain. Both of them are going to work for your benefit. Just you have to know the way of how to make a balance between both of them. This
right.
is the important fact. So too excessively emotional people are always in danger. So try to protect yourself
they
from being...
They get hurt so much.
Exactly.
Asma has experience.
No.
Well, I too have.
No, because I know the
well,
way how to balance
I too have.
Okay. Yes, anyways, we don't have time to fight over that. Protect yourself from the kind of emotions that are going to be so dangerous, that are going to put you that are going to expose you into danger. And you have to find a way for it because you know yourself better than anyone. So just think about it and try to dig deep in yourself and find the ways into your heart and into your brain.
Focus on the positive thoughts.
Exactly.
Ignore the negative ones.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself. Self-care is going to help you a lot.
Thank you very much for making the gist of the story. And that was all the time that we had for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Until another session, I bid you farewell.
Me too. I also bid you a farewell. Take very good care of yourself. Until another session. Wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Spirituality. You can tune in to RIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, RIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The insurance giant State Farm, America's biggest car and home insurer by premium volume, will halt the sale of new home insurance policies in California, citing unacceptable wildfire risk and rapidly rising construction costs. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The national broadcaster CBS News has covered this story and tells us more. State Farm said it will no longer accept new applications for home and business insurance in California because of an increase in catastrophic events and construction costs, the company announced on Friday, 26th of May. State Farm General Insurance Company made this decision due to historic increases in construction costs outpacing inflation, rapidly growing catastrophe exposure, and a challenging reinsurance market, the insurance company said in a statement. The new guideline took effect on Saturday, 27th of May, and includes all business and personal lines, property, and casualty insurance. It will not, however, impact State Farm's personal auto insurance policies, the company said. State Farm's independent contractor agents will continue to serve current customers who already have property and casualty insurance with the company, meaning they can still make claims for property that is already covered by the company. The company has also not issued any non-renewals at this time. In 2021, California experienced at least 7,396 wildfires, which burnt nearly 2.6 million acres of land, according to the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection. Last year, in 2022, California experienced 7,490 wildfires that burned 362,455 acres of land.
State Farm, which was the largest property and casualty insurer in California in 2021, brought in over $7 billion in premiums that year, but incurred losses of about $4 billion, state data showed. According to the California Department of Insurance, CDI, insurance companies covering property may be required to cover living expenses such as emergency shelter and food, personal property, and valuables, damage to the property and other buildings or structures on it, the removal of trees, shrubs, and debris, and water damage not caused by a flood. The company said it will continue to work with California Department of Insurance, CDI, and evaluate the market over time, indicating that this new policy could change depending on the economy. State Farm is not the first insurance company to stop or limit property insurance coverage in California due to the increase in wildfires and state regulations. According to reporting by the Wall Street Journal last year, American International Group, AIG Group, notified thousands in California that their policies would not be renewed. It's necessary to take these actions now to improve the company's financial strength, the statement said. We will continue to evaluate our approach based on changing market conditions. The CDI, the California Department of Insurance, told CBS News in a statement on Saturday that State Farm's decision is the result of uncontrollable factors and does not affect the decisions of other insurance companies in California. While insurance companies prioritize their short-term financial goals, the long-term goal of the Department of Insurance is protecting consumers, the statement said. The factors driving State Farm's decision are beyond our control, including climate change, reinsurance costs affecting the entire insurance industry, and global inflation. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered this story. The insurance giant State Farm, America's biggest car and home insurer by premium volume, will halt the sale of new home insurance policies in California, citing wildfire risk and inflation of construction costs. Starting on Saturday, 27th of May, the company will not accept insurance applications for businesses and personal lines property and casualty insurance. The company will still accept auto insurance applicants. State Farm General Insurance Company made this decision due to the historic increases in construction costs, outpacing inflation, rapidly growing catastrophe exposure, and a challenging reinsurance market, the company said in a statement. We take seriously our responsibility to manage risk. We recognize the governor's administration, legislators, and the California Department of Insurance, CDI, for their wildfire loss mitigation efforts. We pledge to work constructively with the CDI, the California Department of Insurance, and policymakers to help build market capacity in California. However, it's necessary to take these actions now to improve the company's financial strength. Existing customers insured by State Farm will not be impacted by the decision. In response to State Farm's statement, a spokesperson with the California Department of Insurance, CDI, told Fox Business News that it is working to protect homeowners. The factors driving State Farm's decision are beyond our control, including climate change, reinsurance costs affecting the entire insurance industry, and global inflation, said the spokesperson. State Farm is not the only insurance company to disrupt coverage over wildfires. American International Group, AIG, a multinational insurance company, notified thousands of California homeowners last year that their policies will not be renewed. The latest statement from State Farm comes after a bout of wildfires in California last year. While wildfires are not rare in the western parts of the United States, The climate crisis has exacerbated the issue, especially in California. California saw 7,490 wildfires in 2022, an increase from the previous year, according to data from the California government. One wildfire in Northern California destroyed 100 homes and other buildings. The severity of wildfires has destroyed homes, caused injuries and deaths, and worsened air quality, exposing millions of Americans to smoke and ash. California's climates have become warmer and drier due to climate crisis, causing the state's wildfires to be more frequent and intense. A recent study found that between 1986 and 2021, almost 40% of forest area that burnt in the western United States and parts of Canada could be attributed to fossil fuels, the Washington Post reported. However, California has experienced record wildfires in the past 6 years. The state experienced 8 of the largest fires in U.S. history and 3 of the top 5 deadliest fires. The national broadcaster CNBC has also covered this story and tells us more. State Farm General Insurance Company on Friday, 26th of May, announced that it will stop accepting new homeowners insurance applications in California, citing rapidly growing catastrophe risks like wildfires, historic increases in construction costs, and a challenging reinsurance market. "We take seriously our responsibility to manage risk," the company said in a statement released to the public. State Farm said it will stop accepting new businesses, personal lines, property and casualty insurance applications starting on Saturday, 27th of May. The new policy will not impact personal auto insurance, according to the release. State Farm's independent contractor agents will also continue to serve existing customers. The company said it will work with the California Department of Insurance, CDI, and other policymakers to improve conditions in California, but that State Farm decided to take action to improve its financial strength. "We will continue to evaluate our approach based on changing market conditions," State Farm said in a statement.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Here is a part of the speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution in a meeting with Iranian commanders and senior military officials in the Imam Khomeini Hosseini on April 16, 2023. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, all praise is due to God, Lord of the worlds, and peace and greetings be upon our Master Muhammad and upon his pure progeny, particularly the vestige of God remaining on earth. You are all very welcome here. As Major General Muhammad Baqiri said, I too am happy about this meeting, which is being held after a long break. I hope that, God willing, the Almighty God will grant you success in that which pleases him and in that which is necessary for your great, important acts of service. I'd also like to congratulate you on the Iranian New Year. although almost a month has passed now since Nowruz, Eid-e Nowruz, can continue for 2 or 3 months, so it doesn't matter. You can still congratulate people. Mr. Bakri's statements were very good too. In other words, I have the same expectations of the armed forces as he spoke of. In addition, you planned and made decisions in certain places, which is very good. But making decisions is just half the work.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
The other half is to take action, follow things up, and matters of that sort. Don't let your decisions get old. Don't allow them to remain untouched, become stale, and gradually forgotten. And don't be alarmed about me giving this advice, because this frequently happens. It happens both within and outside the armed forces. Decisions are made, and those who make decisions at the top of the organizational hierarchy are determined and serious people. They truly believe in their decisions and they want them to be carried out. But when these decisions reach the tips of the organization, where there are different officials and human resources working at different levels, the decisions become fainter and sometimes they aren't carried out at all. Don't let this happen. This is one point. The second point is that you must follow up on the things you have started. Now suppose, for example, that you start building a certain number of houses. Very well, but one of the problems with the plans for construction in our country is that it often takes longer than the required assigned time.
That you've done for me through all my years I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
The Resistance Festival in Brussels has gathered Palestinian rights campaigners from across Belgium and beyond. Israel's murder of innocent civilians and the regime's ongoing illegal activities in the occupied territories has been highlighted.
The Nakba has been going for 3/4 of a century now, and we're talking about brutal colonialism and occupation in its most ugly form imaginable. Yeah, people are angry.
Apartheid, ethnic cleansing, segregation, siege, all forms of ethnic cleansing and colonialism. The Palestinian political prisoners also.
Tel Aviv authorities continue to destroy Palestinian homes and develop stolen land for settlers. Activists are calling on everyone living in the EU to stop buying Israeli products.
Yes, I think there should be boycotts, I think there should be sanctions, I think there should be punishment.
I think it's absolutely vital that we continue to support them in their struggle against fascism and imperialism.
We are here, helpless and hopeless sometimes. We feel
and we cannot protect our people in Gaza. This is painful, very painful.
Even though the United Nations classifies Israel's activities as illegal under international law, the EU seems to suggest that both sides are to blame for the occupation.
We are consistently urging all parties to exercise maximum restraint and not to contribute to escalation, but to the contrary.
When it comes to the war in Ukraine, there is no such mixed messaging from the EU. Russia has always been the only aggressor, end of story. Rights campaigners say Palestinians will be free eventually, insisting it's simply a matter of time. Given that the European Union is so willing to impose sanctions when it falls in line with the wishes of the United States, those gathered here are calling on EU leaders to finally muster some courage and put Israel under real pressure. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
When climate activists were tear-gassed, abused, and arrested by police in Paris, the Western mainstream media broadcast shock and alarm at state brutality towards nonviolent protesters. Many of France's yellow vests were glad the subject was reported upon, but the group which has been subject to more French police brutality than any group in recent memory wonders why their weekly protests and mistreatment are still under a media blackout.
Chaque samedi, bientôt cinq ans.
Every Saturday for nearly 5 years, the yellow vests have been in the streets. In the big cities and the small towns, we make our legitimate demands for democratic and economic rights, and we won't stop until we get them.
Many were shocked this month when a woman who was not participating in a 2019 yellow vest demonstration and had been shot in the neck by a tear gas grenade was just judged to be co-responsible for her injuries.
The judge said that the mother, who had gotten lost in a strange city while visiting her daughter, should have known that serious incidents had occurred at recent protests. The decision refused to find fault with the state's actions, seems to negate a citizen's right to travel freely, and will likely scare many away from even observing a yellow vest protest.
Un état totalitaire.
We aren't in a dictatorship, but in a totalitarian situation. The state wants everybody to keep quiet and to agree with whatever they say. This lack of democracy, why the yellow vests began in the first place. It wasn't over just gas prices. This woman's situation is one dramatic situation, but there are so, so many others like her.
On June 6th, a million-person march is expected, the 15th this year, in the ongoing fight against a 2-year hike to the retirement age by presidential decree. Police brutality is expected to be even more rampant than at the previous such march on May 1st.
Pour leur physique de venir en manifestation.
The people are afraid for their own physical safety when they come to a protest now. There are so many arrests, so much violence, and constant tear gas. This is the reason why the number of people joining us dropped, even as our national problems keep growing worse.
Besides their Saturday marches, the yellow vests are present at seemingly every public protest in France and often around Europe as well. They regularly contend that they are willfully ignored by the government and media because the basis of their movement is economic and political redistribution. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
Al-Quds International Institution has held its annual meeting of the Board of Trustees in Damascus. The meeting was attended by Palestine's ambassador to Syria, Syria-based Palestinian factions, and Syrian President Assad's political and media advisor, Buthayna Sha'ban, who is also board secretary in the institution. She called for the unity of the Arab and Islamic world in order to liberate Palestine. She set the case of Syria as an example for Palestinians that victory is undoubtedly the result of steadfastness.
Arabs have returned back to Syria. The difficult experience Syria went through for over a decade is a beautiful lesson for Palestinians that those who believe in their cause the most will triumph. President Assad's presence in the Arab League summit is not just a victory announcement for Syria, but also signals the failure of huge plots made by strongest world powers.
Speakers highlighted the heroic resistance of Palestinians in the battle, codenamed Revenge of the Free, in the Gaza Strip. They called for confronting Israeli attempts to Judaize Al-Aqsa Mosque, reiterating that Quds will remain the eternal capital of Palestine. The meeting